So I think this whole project gave us such new life into this content that we use day after day. Finding and digitizing and preserving this content led to a lot of new opportunities to deliver new, fresh content that our fans hadn't seen.
Veritone presents Adventures in AI, the podcast that dives into the many ways artificial intelligence is shaping the future for the better. I'm your host, Kevin Ells, and today we'll be talking with two media masters for the San Francisco Giants, Paul Hodges, VP of Content Entertainment, and Brad Martins, Director of Media, Systems, and Workflows, about how AI is helping brands preserve, archive, and process content, making it available securely and safely stored for use today and for future generations. Welcome, gentlemen.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Gentlemen, tell the audience a little about yourselves and your respective roles with the San Francisco Giants. And let's go ahead and start with you first, Paul.
Yeah, Paul Hodges, Vice President of Content and Entertainment for the San Francisco Giants. I've actually been with the organization since 2000, had a little bit of a hiatus with the Golden State Warriors for 2 years, but have since to come back and in the last 2 years oversee our design studio, our photography department, and SFG Productions.
Excellent. And over to you, Brad.
Yeah, Brad Martins, Director of Media Systems and Workflow. I've been with the team since 2008, a fresh college graduate, interned that year, and worked my way up to oversee all of the SFG Productions, digital media assets, asset management systems, video archives, and so much more. But
we'll talk about the much more now, right?
Yeah.
The Giants baseball team has been around for over a century, now known as the San Francisco Giants, when they moved to San Francisco just over 60 years ago. And that's a long history and literally tons of media content, ranging from photos, audio, video, and of course, film. How did this massive project to digitize all your content and preserve it come about?
Yeah, so me and Brad have both started at the organization as interns, and at some point in the early 2000s had the idea of doing this tape by tape and taking it on ourselves. That obviously, as anybody's ambition stalls out because of other projects that come our way. We, in 2017, I believe it was, or 2018, put this project in front of our president and CEO, Larry Bear, and said, listen, we're sitting on, I think at the time we estimated maybe 12,000 assets. And we said, hey, let's start to digitize and preserve and save some of these assets. And that conversation led to embracing us and in our vision in preserving all this content to essentially send it off and get digitized. So we looked at this tape legacy project, saw a big opportunity to essentially preserve our content that had been sitting essentially in tape storage lockers for the last couple of decades. Back, if you remember, we played in Candlestick Park at one point, and tapes took up a storage room in Candlestick Park, and they were looking for, you know, growth opportunities, and tapes sitting in a storage locker at that point didn't really make a lot of business sense. So it made better business sense to move those tapes to a dumpster than another closet. So we also need to thank our archivist Missy, who went out there and actually pulled these tapes out of a dumpster at that point, and started to preserve a lot of this stuff, because at that point we were in a place where, you know, we needed to grow. Candlestick Park had the 49ers there playing in the Giants, and space was a premium, but all that stuff then went to various storage lockers across the Bay Area. And when Brad and I put this in front of executive management, they bought into it, and we were able to collect all those assets, digitize them, and preserve them. And and we needed to understand what was sitting on those tapes.
So the logistics of just pulling all this material back together sounds pretty demanding. What other challenges did you face? And did AI, I know AI made life easier. How did AI make life easier for pulling all this stuff together and then getting it into the system?
I'll let Brad expand on this, but I would say in the beginning of this, we didn't even consider AI. what me and Brad were considering was interns, 40 hours a week, sitting in front of a computer using some sort of logging software. And then AI fell on our lap, one NAB. We were walking around the floor and was given this gift, and that led us down this path, which was much easier to manage than, say, 40 interns or whatever logging.
Sounds good. Go ahead, Brad. Tell us the story here.
You don't really know what you have. Paul mentioned the tapes were in various locations. We had tapes that were at our current ballpark as of 2000 when that opened up at then Pac Bell Park, now Oracle Park. And then there were several other storage locations. And so the first challenge was really understanding how many assets we have and what the various formats were. And so we have an offsite warehouse, and we were able to kind of move all of our assets to a single location and put them in the room. And that's when you really start to understand the grand nature of what we were trying to take on. And you kind of have that moment where you step back and you're like, wow, this is a lot. Like, are we really going to be able to do this?
I was saying earlier, you had tons of material. That's not an exaggeration. You literally had tons of material. I think you mentioned 15 pallets.
Yeah, 15 pallets is what we ended up shipping down to Hollywood, you know, thanks to our digitizing partner, Iron Mountain. And I can literally say that I put blood and sweat into this project in a warehouse, barcoding tapes with their project managers, organizing things, reboxing things. And, you know, outside of being a fan of history and a fan of baseball, really cool to see old film reels, but also know that you're preserving the team's history. And luckily, everything had been stored in pretty remarkable condition. And Iron Mountain services also include taking all of those assets and being able to kind of clean and prepare them for the digitizing process to make sure we're going to get the highest quality digital file. And so what we ended up doing was taking everything that was HD, keeping it HD, taking anything that was standard definition and up converting it to HD, and then scanning in all of our 16 and 35 millimeter film at 2K resolution. So as Paul said, you know, you now understand we have 15 pallets of tapes, but you digitize those files and now you have 15, you know.
I think the thing is, like, when it's on the shelf and you don't know what it is, and even though you digitize it to preserve it, you still don't know what it is. It's now in a digital format. It's off the shelf, but now trying
to
find it.
You haven't made it any more accessible. It's just easier to get to, but you don't know where you need to go to get to it.
Yeah, you don't know what you want to click on at that point. At least you know what you have, a physical tape in hand, but we just took everything off the shelf and made the shelf obsolete. Now it's on a hard drive, which is probably even more anxiety filled because you don't know where to click, and it's a bunch, you know, at that point everything's called like
tape
01, 2A5, 2FAR6.
Yeah. It's no different than it was on the tape. It's just different format. And that's where the AI does come in.
Correct.
Right. And so that was we took the approach, once you know, you're still kind of guessing because you might have an hour long tape that could have an hour of footage on it, or it could have 10 minutes of footage on it. So even trying to guess what it would take a team of interns to go through and log all that information, at the end we ended up with over 17,000 assets and what we are still estimating to be over 20,000 hours of footage. And so you work that out and start to do math, assuming it usually takes a human at least 3 passes in real time to log footage. And so you assume it would take one person, if they're working 40 hours a week, 52 weeks a year, it would take them 14 years to accomplish our logging. Or you can flip it around and you could hire 14 people for 1 year to do it. But then there's still that human error.
Yeah.
That is,
and you're not getting everything. You're just literally transcribing.
Right.
Yeah.
And so I think that was the value that we saw with Veritone. And the AIware platform was that it layers on whatever cognitive services we want. And so we ended up going with transcription and facial recognition to begin with, and really felt like that got us 90% of the way there with really being able to search and understand what content was sitting on our tapes. But then also having the flexibility to know that we can add any other machine learning and new cognitive service that maybe hasn't been invented yet, right, or something that could continue to add value, whether it's, you know, logo recognition, text recognition. And I think that's the exciting part is yes, grabbing our 90% of real valuable metadata, but then also knowing, you know, we can get to 100%. With a couple clicks here or there.
So in addition to being able to preserve this for the future, which is obviously important for the giants, how are you now using all this new content that you've discovered?
Our organization prides itself on its past and reliving. And I mean, we have a program called Forever Giants that celebrates our alumni. We have plaques on the outside of our ballpark that also enshrine our Forever Giants. So being able to pull content out that essentially helps to celebrate those moments is a great thing, because I mean, at the end of the day, our jobs are to really remind people of this legacy, and you know, the fact that the team goes way back to 1883, San Francisco 1958, like there's a lot of rich history here. You know, even our five Hall of Famers. I think all of this goes to support that narrative. You know, why you should care about this. You know, it's a generational game. Between my grandfather passed this down to me, as well as my dad was also a huge part of that. So I mean, that's how the game gets passed down, and the stories, and you hear about, you know, hey, I got to see Willie Mays, although, you know, I didn't get to see Willie Mays. I got to see Will Clark and others, and kids growing up today get to see Buster Posey. So they all have their player to see. And although today you can go on Instagram or you can go on any of these social platforms to see Buster Posey content, pretty hard to go back and see any new Willie Mays content, because anything that was shot back then, you know, really got pushed out and exploited pretty big time. So,
and you mentioned during our earlier conversations that you've been using a lot of the same stuff over and over again because you didn't have access to this old stuff because you didn't know where to find it. And now this gives you additional capabilities, and you're uncovering new content that you can use. Do you have any, I know you shared a few stories. Would you like to share a couple of stories of examples of that?
Well, I can give you, at least from my perspective, been with the organization since 2000, and you know, there was times when everything was captured on DVC Pro and we were in SD and then moved over to HD and simply just up-res the SD content to HD content. For myself, having been here so long, I've seen probably the best quality content was in SD, and maybe that had generation loss too, because that was passed down from, you know, film to tape. And I think we just getting accustomed to, like, that's all we got. So, you know, when we need to celebrate, say, Willie Mays, for example, that's the footage we pull off the shelf, the same footage, and keep reusing it. So I think this whole project gave us such new life into this content that we use day after day. But there's also a lot of other applications, Brad, I'll pass off to you, that you could probably dive into more, that finding and digitizing and preserving this content led to a lot of new opportunities to deliver new, fresh content that our fans hadn't seen.
Yeah, and I think just speaking to the quality comment, I think, you know, we had seen that same old standard definition film that was shot on MLB, but then also uncovering that we actually had one of the original prints that was made of that film, and being able to upconvert that to a 2K resolution and capture it. The image quality is amazing. You know, what Iron Mountain was able to do in capturing 16 millimeter film at 2K is amazing image quality. But then also the thing that stuck out, having an audio background, is the audio quality had significant loss over tape to tape. So yep. being able to capture the original optical track of audio from a film, it's, you know, being one of the only people to see this until we release it out to the public, it excites me to be able to hear some of the best audio quality of these broadcast calls. And then in terms of just a few little success stories, one that I like to share that was really part of getting the buy-in to this whole process and getting digitized was we had found a key angle from an historic moment that had never been seen before. So Barry Bonds, historic legendary player with the team, hit, I think it was home run 756 to get the record. And we were looking through the tapes that we had that were all of the angles from that historic home run. Obviously, the broadcast had it well covered, but there was an angle that was inside the broadcast booth aiming at our broadcasters during the call. and so we shared that with our executive team, and they had never seen that angle, because when you hear Bond's 756 home run, you're going to watch the home run. That's the exciting part of the play. Well, I think everyone got nostalgic and really started to get the goosebumps and the tingly feeling when you see how excited our broadcasters were to call that historic moment. And it was, you know, I think that's what got the initial buy-in. And then just a few other little success stories along the way. One of the coolest things that we found so far, I think, is a pretty significant, about a 30-minute clip of Willie Mays giving hitting instruction in our minor league facility in Scottsdale, Arizona, to minor leaguers, and just talking. And he's funny because he oversimplifies how great he was, but just talking how his approach to hitting and how he was such a great hitter. And so we've been able to share that on several of our social platforms and get that into the fans. And that's something, you know, I've been with the team for 13 years. I had never seen that before. And it was, you know, sitting on a shelf. So being able to find those gems in there, that's why we're doing it. And, you know, I think being able to easily, quickly search everything through the DMH platform in the cloud, you know, we can pull it up on our phones, we can pull it up in our home.
So you can literally say this year, this person, find everything you have on that person from 1945.
Right.
And in seconds, you have not only a list of where it is, but takes you to that point in the video where that person's name is mentioned.
Right. Or if there's, you know, the facial recognition has picked them up somewhere, they might not even be mentioned. But if their image shows up on the screen, it will take you to the image of where they're at, too. So, yeah, it's the speed, the quickness, the ability to search everything. I like to say, you know, being in the San Francisco Giants DMH, it's like my own fan YouTube page of every single historic moment in Giants history that's just sitting there. And it's because the speed, the quality, the access is amazing.
Yeah. So what does this mean for the fans?
Yeah, I think as we start to look ahead and we hit different milestones and we start to celebrate different moments of from our past, I think as Brad mentioned before, I mean, it's a refresh. It gives fans something new to see. And, you know, and also too, it's cool content for us. Got to believe these younger fans that are coming up here that have no relationship to any of these players or any of these moments we're trying to celebrate, you know, maybe see some cool different angle, see some new exclusive, like behind the scenes content, you know, Brad mentioned of Willie Mays giving hitting instructions, stuff that maybe hopefully will either pull you in to potentially wanting to learn about these guys or maybe walk down the path of being a fan of the San Francisco Giants, as well as just maybe being a talking point, you know, having dinner at home and, hey, you know, mom, dad, what was it like watching Willie Mays? So I think that's all the, again, the reason why we're doing this. And I think that's just, it's reason to stir up conversation and to preserve our legacy and to preserve the story.
Yeah, and it's also, I imagine you often have retired players coming to the games and they're in the audience and you notice them in the crowd and you bring up you point, you know, the camera comes, you know, the kiss cam, but they have the camera. Look who's in the audience today. And for the fans, the young ones in the audience may not know who he is. You can now instantly pull up his history and throw it up on the screen and show, here's when he hit this and did this and blah, blah, blah. And now they can relate to that guy who's in the audience, and it makes it, wow, look, he's over there. I could see that being exciting too.
Yeah, and I think that had always been, you know, our dream. I remember kind of growing up as the intern through our video board control room, and our video board director would always make these, at the time, what I thought were absurd requests. Hey, you know, we know that we're going over the script 3 hours before the game. We know X player is going to be here tonight. Can you go get B-roll of him? And you just kind of look at him and laugh, and it's like, well, where's the tape? I have to digitize it. We then have to edit it all together. Right.
But that's what you do to interns though anyway, right?
you put them through the ringer.
Right.
But Brad's missing the point. Like, we at least, you know, award-winning director, Kevin Skillings, would, you know, bring up these players. And at that time it was a written out list. And then I think, Brad, when you were an intern, we took that thing to Excel to make it easier on our director, Kevin Skillings. Sorry. It takes me back to some goofy moments of the past. You have no idea. As Brad was saying, a lot of this stuff was meant to make it easy on us, but also to enhance that fan experience. But Brad was in the trenches in those moments as we moved from pencil writings to Excel. It's just funny how far we've come.
Yeah, and so now I think, just, you know, being at the end of that road, it's having everything, you know, at a few clicks away is pretty amazing to be living in a world where that technology is now something that we're using every day.
So it's exciting what you can do today with the technology you've got with the Digital Media Hub and using AI. What else do you like about it for the future, and what AI can bring in the future?
I'll start off only because, you know, having been in the organization for so long and knowing that, you know, something like this, we got to watch other industries, other leaders essentially get to play with new technology. Sports, sometimes, you know, you have to have a real hard reason to find opportunities to play with some really cool technology when it comes to this stuff. And that Tape Legacy project led us down that path. And, you know, again, 2017, I don't think me and Brad would have ever thought we'd be talking on a podcast about AI and Veritone. Right. We probably would be talking about, like, this is how you manage 14 interns for a year. But
a good podcast.
Yeah, it could be a good podcast. But alas, we're talking about AI. I think it's just fascinating watching it continue to evolve. And it feels like every quarter, Brad has some new tools and toys to play with. But just knowing that, you know, synthetic speech and even being able to use automation, and there's just so many new offerings that are at our disposal now, that, I mean, again, it's kind of a dream. I think we're fans of baseball, we're kids inside, and so being able to just have toys at our disposal like this is is pretty cool. You can't deny that fact.
Yeah, and I think that's, you know, I touched on it a little bit earlier, but we went in with a single vision of hey, we want to transcribe and we want to run facial recognition on all of our tapes, and the entire team at Veritone hit it out of the park, so to say. Mm-hmm. And then from there, you know, I think what led us to Veritone originally was that the entire platform is like a marketplace for AI. So you're not locked into only using a single engine on anything. I think the team behind the scenes doing all the work is constantly trying to evolve and find what the best AI engine use case is for what our given content is and any new content we're putting in as well. And so we're starting to expand and use new features. We are now recording all of our games and in multiple broadcasts. So now we're getting transcriptions from our radio, from our television, but also an important initiative for us is also our Spanish language radio broadcast. Mm-hmm. And so we're now able to transcribe all of our any Spanish content that we have and make that usable, and being able to both transcribe other languages, but then also translate that into English. Yep. So our editors can use that. is pretty important. You know, it's a key component of just working in the entertainment space. Another feature that was brought to us and we've been using is the ability to automatically generate SRT files for captions in videos that we're using. Captions are growing more and more important with social media. Yep. People maybe not necessarily listening to videos with the audio on, but they still want to be able to understand what's being said in the video. And so obviously we have all of this metadata sitting in a transcription within the DMH platform, but you know, being able, you know, literally one click, being able to pull an SRT file of that entire transcription and pull that into an editor to be able to layer that in is just, you know, just a small piece of where the platform continues to grow and we continue to benefit as a customer.
Yeah, that workflow is really saves you a lot of time and offers right. a lot more than you could have in the past.
And I think it's also keeping it under one umbrella, so to say, because there are other services that we've used in the past, but now that's an additional expense of something that we've already had transcribed, but now you have to pay another company to put your mm-hmm. transcription that you already have into a caption. Well, why not just do it in the platform that you're already hosting all of your content in? And so, you know, there's definitely a ton of value there for us.
Excellent. Well, this has been absolutely insightful, guys. Is there anything else you'd like to share before we wrap this up? I will say, I don't want to be too cheesy, but I was going to say this project sounds like a home run, but it's more like a grand slam.
You feel like you're in a dream. Growing up in the Bay Area, being a sports fan, being able to save Giants history, but then also being able to bring that to the fans, it's been an extremely rewarding process, super insightful and just, you know, educational on my end, and exciting to be able to continually bring new, fresh, old content back to the fan base and grow what we already know is a great team.
I was wondering if you could put archaeologist now on your resume.
Yeah, I would just add to that. It's just speaking for me and Brad. I'm sure we're the ones that fix our IT at home and for our parents as well. And so we're also the ones that are given like, hey, I got this old VHS tape. How do I send it to, you know, Aunt Thelma or something like that? So, you know, we've kind of gone through it on such a small scale and watching, you know, someone really, their eyes light up as they can relive some old content from a VHS tape in the 80s. And it's just, you know, as Brad was saying, you expand on that with this content that we're sitting on, which, you know, working there for so long, we just kind of took it for granted. We just was just another asset we pulled off the shelf and popped in and made a video and threw it up there. But it is definitely rewarding just to be a part of preserving something that's so rich and means so much to so many people is pretty, you know, it's pretty cool. And the fact that we get to relive it so often for either reliving moments or fortunately as people pass on, there's the stuff that we can bring out and make relevant and, you know, treat fans to something new.
Well, you guys have done a lot for the organization and for a couple of guys who started as interns. I think it's an inspiration for interns everywhere that you can change the future and make a big difference and a big impact on an organization. Thank you, gentlemen. I appreciate your time and insight. This has been great. I wish you and the team a fantastic season and beyond. And we'll catch up with you in a couple of years and see where this AI is taking you there. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Kevin.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Excellent. I'd like to thank our audience today for listening in to Adventures in AI, the Veritone podcast. Join us again next time when we discuss more ways AI is changing the world and shaping the future for the better. Have a great day.